Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Sherry Miracle of the Diva Jazz Orchestra. She talked about the 2022 CD Diva Swings Broadway. She's quite a regular around the Neon Jazz parts, and she opened up about this latest project she has, COVID life, the reemergence of live shows, and so much more. Enjoy.
First and foremost, thank you for taking a minute out. This is, I think, our third interview, so we're becoming regulars here at Neon Jazz.
Yeah, old friends.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I think the one thing as a champion for women in jazz, this is the month to celebrate women around the world, and it's coming out. This has to be, and, you know, and we're coming out of this pandemic, hopefully more live shows, kind of the amalgamation of all of that. Is that on your radar, something that really makes special, this release?
And March is also the official anniversary month of the Diva Jazz Orchestra. Our first performance was March 30th of 1993. Yeah, coming up on 30 years, pretty soon. Of course, clearly 29 this year. When we did this release, we always play at Dizzy's Club in New York City at Jazz at Lincoln Center every March. That's the club open. It's kind of our tradition in history. So long story short, coming out of this pandemic, we were scheduled to do this Diva Swings Broadway live at Dizzy's Club in 2020, canceled, then live at Dizzy's in 2021, canceled. So I thought to myself, well, the band has not played since February 8th of 2020. Let's get together in the studio then and use this. Fingers crossed we're going to have happen at Dizzy's in 2022. And we did. So I did the recording in a studio because I wanted to, have something new and exciting to share with our fans and friends. And it just worked out perfectly. You know, and March is an important month.
Absolutely. You know, and I think that's the thing. What was that final show like back in February of 2020? Do you remember that? Was it kind of like an epicenter for you?
Yeah. We were playing at the New Trier Jazz Festival in Winnetka, Illinois, one of the most wonderful festivals in the country. It's for students, but it's impeccably run. It's like top notch on all counts. And we've played there, I think, three or four times in our history. And I was so looking forward to that performance. It was great. And, the band was really successful. We played several tunes for our 25th anniversary project and some of our old favorites from the library. And, you know, we were just gearing up. We were going to go to Brazil with Nina Freelon. We had several fantastic gigs in the works. And, of course, we didn't know everything was shutting down until March. So I was just, you know, still high from the gig in February, leading into March. But then when things really started to close down, I was like relishing that performance and realizing that it would be 2 years since we played together from that date. Definitely. I think everybody remembers, you know, probably like that was my last gig. And who knew? Nobody knew. We had clueless it was going to last this long.
No, I know. And when it all began, we thought it would be weeks and maybe a month. And then, you know, the shots started settling in. But, you know, you're very busy and very active with live performance. So, you know, over the 2 years where largely there was no shows, what did you realize about yourself that maybe you didn't know before that's going to make you a stronger organism as we get out and hopefully return to live music and you promote a new album?
That's a great question. I think artistically, it really helps me focus my attention on what I love and like really sort of confirm what is the best thing that me as the leader of the music director of the Diva Jazz Orchestra can put out into the world. Well, I'm going to say style-wise, but besides the personal voice of the band, which is very strong, because many people in the band have been playing with me well over 20 years. And as you well know, and every musician knows when you play with people that long, you know, surely you develop a unique sound. So the band itself and the music we play, I think our strength is having deep roots in the tradition. This is what the pandemic helped me focus on, and to really continually put out music that makes me happy, which is always something that's swinging, you know, really, really swinging. And like I said, in the tradition of the great, I'm going to say concert jazz orchestras of Buddy Rich and Woody Herman and Basie and Stan Kenton and those kind of bands, you know, songs that are melodic, that feel good, that are, you know, that always have a groove to them, and just like focusing on what the band's best voice is. And that's it. And that's my musical vision, following in the footsteps of our founder, Stanley Kay, by the way, born March 20th, 1924, another March connection. But that, you know, really, really not trying to be not trying to be anything other than our strongest and best characteristics and the best musical, creative and artistic, you know, voice that we can put out there. As a drummer too, the same thing. And as, you know, my musical vision for Diva has really been solidified.
You take on Broadway on this new album. Talk to me a little bit about how much fun this was to make.
It was super fun. It was really fun. I mean, anytime we get to make music, it's fun. But I love it. Clearly, everybody knows, you know, most people know that a lot of jazz standards have come directly from Broadway and great songs in the American Songbook. And, man, the key in support of what I was saying about the musical vision and, you know, how we're moving forward with the Diva Jazz Orchestra is to take great music, whether it's originals or something from Broadway, and turn it into something unique to us, because we do commission all of our music. So I picked a whole bunch of songs that I loved, and I sort of started with thinking about some of the material we had in our book that I hadn't recorded yet. And what came to mind right away was like, oh, we got this really cool version of 76 trombones that Scott Whitfield arranged for us. And that was commissioned by Stanley Kaye. And I thought that chart is so fun and so swinging. And then I just suddenly started realizing, oh, we have a couple of them. Oh, we have a Micah Binney chart we haven't recorded yet. That's amazing. The man I love. And then I just made a giant list of all the songs that we had in our library that came from Broadway shows. Started looking at that, thought about what other material I might want to do, and commissioned writers from my band that I love, like Sarah Jacobino. She selected With Every Breath I Take, because I love her writing so much. I said, Sarah, I want you to write a ballad from any Broadway show you choose. And she's actually in the band in the Tina Turner show, but I said, maybe not. What's Love Got to Do with It? Maybe we won't do that, something from Tina. But I told her to pick anything she wanted, and she selected that. I called on Lee Pilzer to do, you know, our Barry Sax player, to do Pure Imagination, The Sound of Music. And I just, you know, I was just songs that, like I said, that I love and that make me feel good and hopefully will make the listeners, you know, I always, it's kind of a cliche, but I really sincerely mean it. I love it when people snap their fingers and, you know, their toes are tapping and their heads are bobbing, and, you know, to make everybody feel good with familiar songs that hopefully will, you know, trigger some nice memories for people.
You know, you've already had the chance to do some live stuff, and I'm curious, as we get back more in earnest to the live environment, what do you hope we all collectively realize about the power of live music?
That there's nothing like it, and it's always a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and it's incredibly emotional and moving and powerful. And then, while many of the ways that we experience live music is the same excitement and energy, you know, exchange between the performers and the audience, that we all experience it simultaneously in a very personal way. How your, like I mentioned, like your memory might get, you know, triggered from a certain song or a melody, or, you know, listening to someone play a solo might remind you of something else. So it's fires on all, you know, certainly intellectual, but for me, even better, emotional responses, the way that we listen to it. I think that's what I'm hoping that people realize once they step in, you know, back into a nightclub or a concert hall and hear that amazing sound live in the moment, once in a lifetime in that moment, especially for jazz, washes over them and let it go into their, right, straight to their hearts.
Sherry, thank you for opening up, taking a minute out to talk about, you know, COVID, getting back to it, and the new album. Good luck with everything.
Thank you very much. Great to talk to you, Joe.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players in New York, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. And thanks to Sherry for her time, cool, and music. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz all the time, go to theneonjazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.